Well, the brethren, our next speaker, Brother Michael Balco from Orlando, is going to speak to us on the subject of Let Us Pass Over. Brother Michael.
Thank you, Brother Stephen. And beloved brethren in the Lord, I first wanted to say that Sister Vicki and I and our three sons, Jeremy, Timothy, and Ryan, are very thankful that we have had this week of blessing and fellowship with you at this convention. We also wanted to once again bring the love of those that we left behind in Orlando who wanted to be here but were unable to for certain reasons, and they did send their love, especially to you all. Let us pass over. This phrase is taken from Mark, the 4th chapter, verse 35. And as we set the scene for these words that were spoken by the Master, and I selected these words because haven't you all been studying and reading the Bible and a certain phrase just jumped out at you and you were intrigued by it and you wanted to study more about that and how you could apply it to your life, these wonderful words that were spoken in so many different instances by our dear Master. And to set this scene, after our Lord had selected the 12, He had, of course, already delivered His Sermon on the Mount. Our Lord returned to Capernaum and soon after began His second tour of Galilee. It was during this interim period that He awakened from the sleep of death the widow's only son. Recall He had gone to the city, and at the gate of the city, they were carrying a coffin out with the widow's son in it. And Jesus stopped them, and He said to them in this loud voice, "Young man, I say unto thee, arise." And the young man sat right up in the coffin. It was really the first instance of this kind in our Lord's ministry. He went on then, and He healed lepers. He cured the centurion's servant. And He went on then to teach the lessons of the parables. He gave the parables about the sower of the kingdom of God, and He taught by the sea, and of course a great multitude, as they had always done, thronged there to see Him, to get a glimpse of Him, to try to be healed, to be comforted. Later, He would teach His own disciples many things, explaining the words that He had spoken to them, that He had considered in the parables, and when they were alone, He would take them aside. And then when the eventide had come, in the evening, after this long series of wonderful demonstrations of the power that He had gotten firsthand from the Heavenly Father, daily the Father's Son, a delight that He did the Father's will, He spoke those words to them, "Let us pass over to the other side." Of course, we know that the rest of this particular episode would be that they would go out on the sea, and Jesus had fallen asleep, and the storm came up, and He would calm the sea. Again, they would marvel at this one who even the winds and the sea would obey His voice and be still. But this statement, "Let us pass over," it just jumped out at me as a statement of a surety, of firmness, of a total trust in the Father, of a determination, a trust in our Father, the true and living God. It is indeed a lesson in trust. From Psalm 32, verses 10 and 11, "He that would trust in the Lord mercy and compassion shall compass him about, and be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. Trust in those sure mercies of the Lord. I will counsel thee, mine eye shall be upon thee. Luke 2:28. Through the tender mercy of our Lord, we see whereby the sun-rising springs from on high hath visited to guide our feet in the way of peace. And isn't this the renewing, the refreshment of the mind that our Lord had even after he had been preaching and been spent here with the multitudes and traveling about? And this is what it depends on. The refreshing of our mind depends on our Heavenly Father, this source of our understanding, of our knowledge, through our Lord Jesus, the light of the Holy Spirit of truth. It illuminates our minds further to that dear Son of Righteousness. And it is indeed whose example we follow. Are we indeed in our lives filled with this same level of joy and determination, of zeal, and then of peace and like-mindedness, that we can then fully comprehend these words that our Lord spoke with that great determination when he did say, "Let us pass over"? Apostle Paul also in Philippians 3:13 spoke some familiar words to us. "This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press on to that mark for the prize of the high calling." Also from Galatians 5:25. "If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit." I think this is Apostle Paul's way of saying, let us pass over. Let us have that assuredness of a purpose and intent, knowing that the Father is with us in all things. "Therefore, let us, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And God shall reveal this even unto you." It's an expression of a perfect intention of love for God. We know that it entails, it takes in the love for God, the love for the brethren, the love, the sympathetic love for the people of the world, even our enemies. And it really involves a crystallization of our character likeness to Christ. And as these things develop in us, we must hold fast to them. We must hold fast and see that all the testing that has come upon us so far was a course for a purpose. As being counted with him as overcomers. But not in our own strength, certainly not in our own strength. We know that we are nothing without his strength, his guidance and direction. But it is in that of our dear Redeemer. But it indeed has a center. It's developed in our character development as we fight that good fight of faith until the end of this course. And as we form our characters, even that character likeness of the Lord, this is part of our passing over. By showing forth the love for the principles of the righteousness of God, of his grand design for this earth, and all the wonderful innermost workings of that plan which our eyes of understanding have been opened to see and to enjoy. And if we go on thus faithful, we will win that prize of glory and honor and immortality. And then, our passing over will be complete. Brethren, we see, we know that the reason that our Lord Jesus had such a strong determination, a strong desire in his heart to follow in the Father's plans and purposes, it was due to that special relationship that he had with the Father. He said, "I and my Father are one," from John 10:30. The Father and we are also one because we have that blessed and privileged relationship with the dear Son and in turn with him to our wonderful loving Father. And he shows us his mercy, his compassion, and his watch care over his people in words that were spoken such as in Isaiah 43:2. "When thou would pass through the waters, I would be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee when thou walkest." And in Isaiah 42:6, "I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee a covenant of the people for a light of the Gentiles, to open blind eyes and bring out those prisoners from that prison house of death." A further extension of this likeness of purpose that we share with the dear Son and our dear Father, and that he has revealed these things unto us through that power of the Holy Spirit. For indeed, as we have heard spoken already this week, "Blessed are your eyes, for they see, your ears, for they hear." And not only that, but when you see and you hear, then you respond, and you do, and you're used in the service, the blessed cause of truth and righteousness. 1 Peter 2:11 and 12. "Dearly beloved, I beseech thee, pilgrims and strangers, abstain from the things of the world, having your conversation honest, that they may be by your good works enlightened, improved, that they can see them and they can behold the glory of God that's reflected in you, that they would then see it also in the day of his visitation." By your conduct, the diaglot says, your manner of life. And it's also brought out in reprints 5482. These words in this article, they show us that it matters how we pass over. Through this world, we have to watch closely how we pass over, how we conduct ourselves through our daily lives, through our trials and experiences, through this storm-tossed sea of life. And we do it with a strong faith, even as our Lord has. And we know that there's a transformation that takes place. "Be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds." And it's totally contrary, totally opposite to anything that the worldly mind could have. We heard it expressed in the words, "in this newness of mind, as it operates in us, for behold, all things become new. The former things are passed away." Philippians 4, 7 and 8. Also in Romans 7, really verses 14 through 25. "For I thank God through the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord. So then with the mind I serve the law of God, striving to fight, to resist those weaknesses of the flesh, the ones that would take us away from service, from dedication, from that determination in our lives. And again, I want to serve that law of God. For let that mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. For unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. Mark 4:11. It's given to know the mysteries of God, the precious gems of truth that we can have shown to us daily, that many have sought but have been unable to find. But we have found them. And as we learn more of God's plans and purposes, then we want to know more of Him. We want to develop more of that character likeness to the dear Son. And then we want to be used and consumed in the service. It's similar to, I think, a week at convention. We come here, mostly physically energized, ready for a week of convention. As the week goes on, perhaps we become a little tired, and by this end of the week, we have been physically spent. But spiritually energized, spiritually nourished, refreshed. And that's what we vow to do. To take it all in that we can develop as new creatures in Christ Jesus to be used in His service. For when I am weak, I am strong. I have that mind within me. And then we can go on in our daily lives when we leave this convention, the better and able to be prepared to face the circumstances which will truly lie ahead. And you know, our Lord gave us a wonderful example that we can use in our passing over. And of course, it involves our passing over that is done through a set way. We all know that is the narrow way. It's that narrow way. And you know, brethren, we speak the words that it leads to glory, honor, and immortality. And you know the way. You indeed know the way. You've had it pointed out to you this week and in your personal studies at home, in your home ecclesia. For our Lord said in John 14:3, I go to prepare that place for you. And in 1 Corinthians 2:9, neither hath it entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. Again, see, hear, receive, learn, do. Yes, brethren, we know the way. And it involves every aspect of our being. Every aspect of ourselves, our senses, our lives. It involves giving our all to serve the cause of truth and righteousness. So then part of this passing over takes the application of all these things that we have heard and seen. It involves our studying, our being taught of God, being teachable, having that attitude that I can, no matter how far I am in my Christian walk, I can still learn, I can still apply, I can still improve. Improve to study thyself acceptable unto God. A workman that need not to be ashamed, no matter what is going on around us with the public opinion or people at work. No, we're light bearers, we're light shiners in this dark world, rightly dividing the word of God, which is truth. But it takes along with it, of course, certain requirements. Part of our passing over is that it takes our full attention. It takes our concentration of our new minds and then being focused through the Holy Spirit to learn and to accomplish that which we need to grow spiritually and to develop in a way pleasing to Him. To fully develop as new creatures in Christ Jesus. And isn't this our strong desire, part of our burning determination, the desire of our hearts, that we would do these things faithfully, even as it is expressed in Philippians 2:8, our Lord, He became obedient even unto the death of the cross. We also are wanting to be obedient even unto death. 1 Peter 2:13 and 14, gird up the loins of your minds, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace of God, and to do this as obedient children. Even our theme text, again, it shows us the way to Passover. If you continue in faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, I'd like to put an equal sign. It equals obedience, doesn't it? That is obedience. And when you're obedient in these little daily things of life, I will grant you more. The joys, the love that we cannot comprehend right now. But we're beginning to. We see the blessed joys of our love and our fellowship one with another. The praises that we sing to the Heavenly Father. The things that we do to want to improve ourselves. Our many blessings that we have. And also, as we go on, we have been instructed to learn and to do God's will, and we must again use those eyes of understanding to comprehend all the aspects of His glorious plan that have been revealed to us, that we might be filled with the fullness of God. For He can do abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, that Christ Jesus may dwell in our hearts, that we may be rooted and grounded together in love, and that the man should live by righteousness of faith, which was made possible by Christ who came down from heaven, and He lived that example of faith. He lived that example of trust in the Father. Certainly we want to have that mind in us, and then to walk in His footsteps. As we walk in the footsteps, of course, we put forth the maximum effort in our lives to walk. Although some of the steps might be hard to take, we make the effort. Again, that's the intention of our heart, the perfect intention to do God's will come what may. We have also a personal instruction from the Heavenly Father. In Psalm 32:8, I will instruct thee. I will teach thee in the way that thou should go. I will guide thee with mine eye. And we will have this guidance from the Father. It's promised, and He certainly gives it to us. Again, there are the requirements, though, the being teachable, the wanting to walk in His ways, to walk worthy of the Lord, as brought out in Colossians 1:10, of that vocation wherein we have been called, the highest of all callings, being representatives of the Lord. For each one here would bear His name and should seek in everything, conversation, word, thought, deed, to never dishonor the name of the Lord. To walk circumspectly as brought out in Ephesians 5:15. You know, as we go on striving to walk in the Lord's footsteps, we do have signposts in our journey from the Lord, the direction from above. We have prayer from the brethren. We have our own personal prayer where we look for guidance and direction. Of course, the Father always has that listening ear. We approach Him properly. He listens to our petitions. He helps us along those lines by providing that wonderful guidance from above. And also those quarter marks of love which we mentioned earlier. These are also signposts in our Christian walk. We reach one, we go on. But we don't forget the things that we had learned before. Those are all added together in our walk as we develop. And in between there, we have signposts of the development of the fruits and graces of the Holy Spirit. Especially as we've studied before, just think of patience. If we could develop patience in the world today, look at the lack of patience. You don't have to go far to see that. These are the signposts our Heavenly Father is using to measure our development and to observe the things that we have done, that we can grow and continue to develop in a way pleasing to Him. And we also have signposts from those that we have had in our lives, the ones that we know and love and have known and loved, our teachers in the school of Christ, those who through their lives have had a special and loving influence on our lives, on our character development, their devotion of God and to God we have seen. We have seen their examples of trust, of study, worship, of love for God's plans and purposes. We have seen the depth of their faith and zeal, the giving of themselves and rendering their all to God the Father. And what wonderful examples indeed we have had. What wonderful examples of service to the truth and the brethren. We've seen them, no job too small, no task too large, but they did it faithfully. And then they even said, truly, what can I render unto you, Father, for all of your benefits toward me? I will pay my vows unto the Lord now and in the presence of His people. Truly, I am thy servant. Use me and consume me in thy service. And Paul again expresses it so beautifully in Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Be ye careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving let your requests be made known unto God. Also to keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus in 1 Corinthians 4, 6. And then this peace of God shall fill your hearts. And it shall really fill you up as a river that flows up, of course, coming from the source of truth and peace, the dear Heavenly Father. We fill up with this peace, and it causes then in our lives to look at those who have been a witness of that peace by living a life pleasing to the Father. Revelation 3, 14 and 15, and also Revelation 1, 5. Really, this filling up of the peace of God is centered, I think, in 1 John 4, its self-denial. Gladly giving up of our will to do His will of the Father. And this is the basis for our walk, for our crossing over, and for the bearing of our crosses in this life that we lead. I'd like to look at Philippians 4, verses 4 to 23. And when I look at those verses, I see a design. I know you do also. A design which these dear ones have followed. I think we could call it the pattern of the faithful ones who have gone before. Of those who have passed beyond the veil. Of those who are with us now, our brethren, our family members in this dear body of Christ. Look around you to see these dear ones. They're laying their all on that altar of sacrifice, self-denial, of passing on in this narrow way, of striving to be more like the Blessed Master, more than overcomers, who strive also to look beyond the trivial things which we all do that we do not mean to do. The little flaws that we have. I know I have many. But we look beyond those and we see the love that dwells within us all, that binds us all together. For we have all indeed heard the word. We have responded to the call. We're all striving in our own ways to serve the Heavenly Father, to leave nothing behind, but to give our all to Him. And to go on to reach that mark, one of the signposts, that mark of perfect love, and then to stand fast and firm in Him. Now we can do as it says in verse 4 of Philippians. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. And haven't we all been rejoicing in the Lord this week at this blessed convention? Through fellowship, through song, through the wonderful lessons that we have had presented from this stage. And haven't we all heard something that we are thankful for this week that we can take with us to apply to our daily lives? And be assured that we will. For when we came here, we had our minds in order. And we thought the thoughts, for whatsoever things are true, just, pure, honest, lovely, of a good report, I will think on those things. Because they indeed, they bring praise to my Heavenly Father. And so we know that the word of truth, as provided by our loving, tender God, will sustain us. And if ye do these things, the God of peace shall be with you. And you will be filled with the Spirit, and you will be content. For the God of Abraham is our God. He will sustain us. He will provide everything for us that we need to make our calling and election sure. To complete our passing over. And that as the lesson continues in Philippians, we are learning how to abound and how to be abased. How to be full and how to suffer need. How to be humble and gentle and loving and a kind copy of the Master. This certainly is the full desire of our heart. This is what we want to take with us when we leave this convention. We want to have love with us. We want to continue to develop the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit, of course, is that energizing influence, force in our lives. And activity makes that spiritual mind strong. And then we have love as the connection or link in our lives to carrying these things out. the love that we have, and we have to display this love in our lives, as it says in 1 John 4:7 again. Let us love one another. For the love is of God, and everyone that loveth God is born of God. Why so much about love? Love, love, we hear it. John 14:15. If a man love me, he will keep my words. He that loveth me shall of the Father be loved. Isn't that our desire? Isn't that why we have a determination? Assuredness of purpose. We know the Father loved us first. And he that dwelleth in love, in God, he will be made perfect and have boldness, because the Heavenly Father is with him and will never leave him or forsake him. And so we go on in this world, pilgrims and strangers, having need of the Father's love, his guidance, and his protection as we go on in this journey along our narrow way. We are not fearful. There is no fear in love, because that perfect love will cast out that fear. There's no doubt, because we want to find that love in our heart. The law of the new creation: love, mercy, kindness, goodness. And that we would not lack in any aspect to be accepted as a joint heir with Christ. Certainly we're talking about overcoming, to give our all, holding nothing back, to improve our heart's intent. And again, that's why we're here. To improve our heart's intent, to have a positive effect on our character, and then to, in turn, even show more faith, more zeal, more desire to serve him. Even more love that radiates from within, and it just goes out to all, radiates out to those about us. A warmth of love and devotion and service to the Heavenly Father. And then as we go on, as it says in James 1:2, we count it all joy when we have testings and persecutions, as we're striving to do this passing over, because the Heavenly Father is in us and he's working through us. And we have those great blessings from above. Surely we could then say, let my lips speak forth thy praise, dear Father. For there is gold and a multitude of rubies, but the lips of knowledge are a precious jewel. And we indeed have a precious jewel, the knowledge of our Father's plans and purposes. Righteous lips are the delight of kings, and they love him that speaketh the truth. The heart of the wise would teach his mouth, and addeth learning to his lips. Pleasant words are as a honeycomb. They're sweet to the soul. They're sweet to the soul and to the health, our spiritual health. Yes, brethren, you know the way. You have the keys. You can recognize the signpost. You see the guidance from above that cometh down from the Father of lights. Your path has been illuminated. Your steps made clear. And covered under that robe of Christ's righteousness, you can go on and press on and follow the Lord. As we have pledged, for me and my house, we will follow the Lord. So let us go on, dear friends. Let us pass over, preparing our hearts to be completely dedicated, loyal, serious, mature Christians. For he set us up out of that miry clay, set our feet upon a rock, and established our goings. We want to say, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Thy law is within my heart. I will sing praise unto thy name forever. that I may daily perform my vows. Pour out your heart for him, trust in him in all things. For by him and through him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you very much, Brother Michael, for sharing your meditations and studies with us so that we may also get the benefit from them as we take them home with us and do our homework. That's all he's given us is the lesson, and we must put it in practice.
Our dear loving Heavenly Father, hallowed be the most holy name. Dear Father, we are indeed blessed and privileged that we have this opportunity to come before Thee to sing praises to Thy name, to lift up our voice to thank Thee for the many blessings that Thy hands have bestowed upon us. We thank Thee so much, Father, for this convention, for the wonderful lessons that we have had expressed this week, for the fellowship. Help us to take something away from this convention with us to apply to our daily lives, that we can draw closer to Thee and strive to walk in Thy Son's footsteps, come what may. We're especially mindful here as we gather together of Thy dear ones throughout the world that are striving to do Thy will, remembering those on beds of sickness and affliction, the isolated ones unable to meet in this manner that we can meet. Be with them, and grant them according to Thy will and to their needs. We do love them.